I love the discourses. It was it explained a lot of things to me, and I felt there was a clarity there that I had never seen before. I'd read a lot of philosophy and was interested in Zen Buddhism, this and that, but I'd never read anything that was so simple and so clear before. Mm-hmm. So it left a deep impression on me. And one day, I think I was reading Wisdom Humanity. I got a bunch of books. And I read that Baba said that all this that we experience is just a dream, and that just the way you wake up from a dream at night and realize it was just a dream in the morning, that one day we would wake up from this dream and realize it was just a dream. And that really did it to me. Because I felt that was really true, and that he really knew what he was talking about. Mm. And that was, I think, the beginning of really being profoundly touched by Baba. And so at the time, this is, I was married, had two children, and my wife was, didn't have the same attraction for Baba that I did. And in fact, up until a few years ago, she wasn't a Baba lover, several years ago. So, you know, time went on, and early on I realized that I was going to have to give up drugs because it was just an obstruction to what I was really trying to find.
But you had not come across the pamphlet called
Ordinary Pills? No, I hadn't come across it, but I realized that I was really seeking to understand through drugs. And then when I found Baba, I thought this was the real means to find out the real answer to the real question. And drugs wasn't. I could see a clear distinction. And I realized it was going to be hard because I had become very dependent on the experiences from drugs. That's what kept me going, I think. And I felt, you know, it was a necessary step that I had to take. And years passed by in the story. And
what were you doing? You were doing some job?
Menial work, mainly, yeah.
Menial means?
Carpenter's helper or stuff like that. Just whatever I could to earn a living. It was tough because I wasn't earning much money and I had a family and things weren't easy. And I read in the discourses that Baba said that you should use self-restraint and not artificial means of birth control. So my wife and I both agreed that we had been using birth control, we had two children, to stop. And then as a result of that, my third child was born. And I decided to name him Merwan, and my wife was against it at first, but since I kept calling him Merwan anyway, she relented, and that was his name. And I came to India first time in 1973, and I told you a little bit of my story then. I'm sure you've forgotten. And let's see.
And then what happened?
And then what happened?
Please repeat the story.
Well, time went on. Things got better. My wife was going to college at night. During the day, I worked at night. She graduated. She got a job as a teacher. I started earning more money. Things were getting a lot better financially. And all the problems that were in the family started to get resolved just through sticking it out, through time going by. And also, Merwan was such a beautiful addition to the family. He brought something new into the family, a new spirit, happiness.
The other two children were girls?
No, all three boys.
All three boys.
Yeah. Oh. There was something special about him, and everyone loved him, and he just brought this love into the family that wasn't there in that special way before.
Yeah.
And he was a very gifted and talented person, and very happy, generous, and he was just so easy to be with. I mean, there was never any question of reprimanding him or anything, because he was just a naturally good person. You know?
Named Mervan.
Yeah. And he loved Baba. In fact, I used to tell all the children about Baba all the time. I read them stories, and I used to say Baba loves you before I put him in bed and all this sort of thing. And but they were getting a slightly different message from my wife, who would try to maintain a certain element of reason in the family.
she
felt the balance had to be struck.
She
was
probably
right.
Yeah.
And time goes on, and he grows up. Mervan grows up. He's 14 years old now, and his life had been really beautiful. I mean, he was very successful at everything he did. Successful in school, happy person, and everything. And then, with maturity, fell in love with a girl.
Mervan, probably.
Yeah, and he was ecstatically happy, because he must have really given his heart.
Mm. 100%.
At 14? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this girl decided that she didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. And it was such a crushing blow to him that he just went into a deep depression over it. And no matter what I tried to do or my wife tried to do to try to help him out of it, it was just, he just kept us at a distance, because, you know, he didn't want to return to being a little boy again. He, thought, he felt he was a man now or something. The situation was different. And I thought to myself, well, you know, Baba's Nizar is on him. He'll protect him and everything will be all right. And he'll come through because he has so much inner strength and he's such a good person.
Yeah.
I felt nothing to worry about, really. Although I was worried. You know, I had two ways of looking at it. I was, you know, one time I'd be worried, now time. So anyhow, things got bad enough for him that one day he left home, he disappeared. And even one day went by, he didn't come home, 2 days went by. And I kept thinking to myself, well, I'm not going to worry about this, because worry is not going to do any good. And I know that, you know, whatever happens is Baba's will. So I just refused to worry about it. But his mother was very, very worried about it. And 2 days go by, still he doesn't show up, and then his friends start to call and say, have you seen Mervan? No. Then I started to think, well, maybe it's a little more serious than what I thought it was. And 3 days go by. We call the police, they investigate and all that sort of thing. And still nobody's seen him. And then finally it started to dawn on us that maybe he wasn't going to come back, you know. And his brother went around the neighborhood looking for him, and he found him. He had committed suicide.
See, your reaction must have been, let his will be done.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I felt bad, and actually I felt struck with grief, but at the same time, I knew that he was with Baba, that, you know, it was clear to me. And I felt Baba's love so strongly, I can't describe it. And it's been an incredible, profound change in my life. I was already connected with Baba, but at this point it became my entire life. There was nothing left.
Yeah. And what about the two children?
Well, they handled it pretty well, I thought. Yeah.
They're married?
One is married. Yeah.
How many years ago was it,
friend? 7 years ago, about, yeah. And through that incident, Diana, because she was just so struck down by this, she turned to Baba. There was no place else to go.
I remember the first time you had come.
Yeah. Yeah. And it took her a little while, but eventually she realized. So that's my story, essentially.
How long after that was it that you came to India?
A year later, I think.
85?
Yeah, 85. Yeah. He was born in 69 and died in 84. Mm. And Baba was born in 1984.
Yeah.
I'm not good with numbers.
No, but really speaking, all the Mandali knew this episode had taken place. And naturally, we were also struck dumb, to be very honest with you all. What happened? All of a sudden, Mervan is no more. But then when they both came, you both came together after this, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we saw him as if nothing has happened in his life. He was so... nothing touched him. Nothing. Dayana was so very sad. We couldn't even speak out to her anything, you know. Knowing fully well that if we were to remind her anything, we don't know whether she would flare up, she would cry, burst out, and nothing. But seeing him was a great solace to us. Yeah. And that is what Baba says. If you really say that I work miracles, this is my miracle. That in spite of this tragedy, a calamity in the household, and yet the man of the house is steadfast in holding on to me, is my miracle. All this is nothing but a miracle, that if you call it, the whole universe has been created. There is no miracle of mine. This is my miracle. We are proud of you, brother. Yeah. We never told you before, but we are really inwardly. All know about it here. And what a change has taken place now in Diana. We see her smiling. And, yeah. Baba be praised.
That was a miracle for me to see
the
transformation.
Yeah, for us also, it was. Last two visits, very free. Very good. So this is the miracle. And who says that? Well, what will you say about it? What do the people say about the calamities for Baba lovers? Because you come to Baba, the calamity is there. But see the change that has taken place. Yeah? So don't you feel worried about it? Don't you feel antagonist people who say such things? Just keep quiet. So Baba will be done. That's all. Okay, don't you worry about it. Let them say anything they want.
I tell a story about how Baba, when he's giving you a calamity, he's also lifting you up with the other hand.
Yeah.
When we were here in 1988, we came with my daughter Amber, John's son Josh, and Raina Scott, who's Terry Adams' daughter.
Yeah.
And my son Damon wasn't with us at that point. And when we left, Mara gave my daughter two Hershey Kisses to give to Damon as prasad, since he hadn't come with us. Because when we had been here in 1980, even though Damon was 10 years old, Mara had hugged him, which was absolutely amazing to me, because we were told that, you know, they were 7 years old, you know, that was like the cutoff, and we had warned him, you know, make sure he's... stay away from her, don't touch her. But on her own, she had gone up and given him a hug. So raising teenagers can be a calamity in itself. And the fact that Mara had hugged him always made me feel that regardless of, you know, the troubles that we may have had with him, you know, that Baba was holding on to him. And his name, in the first place, was after Baba's Dhamma. Because when back before we had come to Darshan, Phyllis pronounced it Damon when she would tell us, hold on to Baba's Damon. And so we thought that was a perfect name since I was going to be holding on to him for a long time. Well, Amber, when she got home, and this is the summer of 1988, she took these two Hershey kisses as Prasad Pranera, put them away in a special place in her bedroom, and forgot all about them. And this is also a story of how Baba uses your strengths and your weaknesses. You can't hide one from him, and he doesn't just use your talents. He uses all of you for his work. So we come here again last year, John and I, and his two daughters, Vanessa and Zoe and Josh, and Amber and Damon are still back in the States. And Amber's getting ready to go to UC Santa Cruz. She's going to be a college student, and she's all excited. And she's cleaning out her room, packing, getting ready to go. And she finds this prasad from Mira that she had totally forgotten about. And she was so excited because she has this wonderful present to give to Damon that she'd never told him about. And she was planning on seeing him that night because of the fact that she was going away to college. She was going out to dinner. They were having a goodbye party for her. Her father, Michael, Damon, his best friend, Marwan, Scott, Raina's brother. And they went to our favorite Mexican restaurant and had a wonderful meal together. And at that point, Amber gave Damon this prasad from Mara. And Mara had passed away, a year and a half before then. Mm. So across the universe, Mara gives prasad to my son. And apparently he ate only one of the Hershey Kisses. And he died the next night.
Yeah.
The night before he died, he was given prasad from Mara.
Mm.
But the other sweet part is that Marwan, who was his roommate and found him, this has been his best friend his whole life. They grew up together as, buddies. This was a very difficult thing for him also. But when they were cleaning out Damon's possessions, guess what they found? This other last Hershey Kiss from Mara. And of course they knew what it was. And so they cut it into three pieces. And Damon's father, even though he came to Baba meetings for 8 years when we were married, he was never interested in Baba. But he definitely understood the importance of that prasad.
Mm.
And they each took it as prasad from Mara. And Michael's heart was so touched because we were still here in India. There's no way we could get back in time.
Who sent the cable to you here?
We didn't get a cable. We got a call from Mary McGuire. She called in the middle of the night and told me. But we couldn't make it back in time for the memorial. And it seemed to me, if Baba had me here, that that's where he wanted me. And that was part of his blessing.
Yeah.
That was part of him holding me in his hand. But Michael was so struck by the love of all the Baba lovers who helped arrange the memorial. Michael and Debbie Kupan played House of the Lord, sang Amazing Grace. I mean, everyone got together and made this incredible Baba memorial, and 250 people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Only 40 of which were Baba lovers. The other ones were all these young people that Damon had been friends with. He was on the water polo team in college, and he'd been on the football team.
But what happened? Why did he die?
We found out like 8 weeks later that it was bacterial pneumonia, and he didn't even know he was sick.
How come? No fever or anything?
Well, apparently he had a cough for 2 months. But
oh, really?
He'd never been sick in his whole life. He didn't know what sickness was. He was a very healthy child.
Mm.
It just would never have occurred to him that he should go to a doctor. And apparently, even when you're on the water polo team, you have to get examined anyway to even be able to play. And they examined him and they passed him just fine. But it was just Baba taking him in such absolutely painless, I was always worried about him because he would drive and drink. And this is the kid. I never worried about my daughter. But my son, I always worried about. But that's why I have to remind myself, Mara hugged him. And that's the other thing. The fact that in 1980 she hugged him, and in 1990 she sent him a kiss.
So how old was he?
He was 20. He would have been 21 in January. And we still went out and celebrated his birthday.
Hmm.